buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
This is part three of my interview with Michael Snyder of the Economic Collapse blog. Enjoy the show. I wanted to get back to Venezuela for a moment, and I just read on Yahoo News that the price for a burger in Venezuela is $170 U.S. when you convert the currency over. We usually think about famines as being a result of crop failure or droughts, but the famine we read about in Revelation 6, where a quart of wheat is sold for a day's wages, could that be due to political and economic conditions like we're seeing in Venezuela right now?
Oh, it absolutely could, because, when you just simply don't have enough money to buy, maybe there's something in the stores, but you just don't have enough money to buy it. So I think that's the case. But, personally, I believe, in the mid to long term, what we're going to be dealing with, not just in Venezuela, but all over the world, is a situation where, currencies are being really, really debased and you're getting a lot less for your money. And so, even if you have a job and have some money, you can't even buy that much. But at the same time, I do believe factors are coming, whether it's natural disasters, whether it's war, other things, which are going to cause a constriction of supply. So we're going to be facing a constriction of supply. There's going to be less stuff to buy. Meanwhile, currencies are going to be debased and currencies are going to be a lot less valuable. So both those factors at the same time are just going to cause a tremendous crunch, tremendous inflation and shortages of goods. At the same time, your money is not buying very much at all. Similar to what we're seeing in Venezuela right now. But eventually, I believe that we're going to see this globally.
And we had a significant uptick in seismic activity recently also. Volcanoes in Mexico, 7.1 in Japan, a 7.8 that killed hundreds and injured thousands in Ecuador, and then they continue to have more aftershocks. Jesus told his disciples that seismic activity would be one of the signs of the end. And you just posted an article yesterday that there's about 40 volcanoes going off right now. Is that right?
Yeah, that's according to Volcano Discovery. 40 volcanoes around the world are currently in a state of eruption. And just in recent days, we saw two more major eruptions. Mount Sinabung in Indonesia went off, and some people have died. And one, according to one report, torrents of lava are pouring out of the volcano. So that's a concern. Another one down in Costa Rica has gone off. And that took authorities by surprise, and it's coating vehicles and buildings 30 miles away in the capital city of San Jose. But what's interesting about the one in Costa Rica is it was preceded by swarms of small earthquakes. And the scientists have said, oh, don't worry about these swarms of small earthquakes. They don't mean anything. They're not signs of an imminent eruption. But, of course, then there was a major eruption. Well, right now, in the United States, we're seeing swarms of earthquakes at three major volcanoes on the West Coast, on Mount St. Helens, Mount Rainier, and Mount Hood. And it's not unusual for there to be earthquakes at these volcanoes. And a swarm of earthquake at one of these volcanoes is not even that unusual. But right now, we're seeing significant swarms of earthquakes at all three of these volcanoes simultaneously. So it's kind of alarming. And what I did in this, most recent article I posted on the Economic Collapse blog is I pulled up pictures from Google Earth that showed where these swarms of earthquakes are taking place. And in the case of Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier, the swarms of earthquakes are centered right in the core of each volcano, where in Mount St. Helens over the past 30 days, there's been 95 earthquakes, almost all of them right in the core of the volcano. Mount Rainier, there's been 36 earthquakes, most of them centered right on the core. Then in Mount Hood, there's been 126 earthquakes over the past 30 days, and they've been centered on a spot on the south face of the mountain. Now, that's interesting because, of course, it was the south face of Mount St. Helens that exploded back in 1980. So, but yeah, on Mount Hood, it's really tightly clustered on an area on the south side of the mountain. So what does this mean? Is an eruption imminent? I don't know, but, you know, if those who follow my work know, I've been very concerned about Mount Rainier for an extended period of time, and I believe Mount Rainier is a very, very significant threat. But, of course, Mount St. Helens and Mount Hood are dangerous as well, and we're seeing all of this activity all around the Ring of Fire all over the world. You know, of course, Indonesia and Costa Rica, those were, you know, those two eruptions right along the Ring of Fire, and the west coast of the United States falls right along the Ring of Fire. And so, you know, scientists assure us that someday there's going to be major earthquake events. There's going to be volcanic eruptions along our west coast. And so the scientists tell us it's just a matter of time. And with activity really ramping up all along the rest of the world, especially along the Ring of Fire, and now we're starting to see these swarms of earthquakes, is there reason to be concerned? I don't know, but, you know, something that I'm watching.
And Romans 1:28 says that, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. If you think about knowledge and where we get it, most people would say it's school. And it's been over four decades since God was evicted from the public school system here in America. But we've just now hit the level of depravity where we're telling boys it's okay to use the girl's shower. So we've been able to avoid that corporate reprobate mind for 40 years. I guess that's about the best you can hope for. We've had a pretty good run, right?
Yeah. Well, to me, what we're seeing, you know, especially here recently, where it's almost like a cloud of insanity has descended on America, where you talked about bathrooms. Well, back in May 1961, President John F. Kennedy publicly declared that we will put men on the moon. Now, fast forward 55 years later, May 2016, now Barack Obama's come out and publicly declared we will put men in women's restrooms. You know, so is that, you know, advancing as a society, or are we gone completely crazy? You know, we've got, you know, other examples where we've got this 27-year-old woman in Maryland who announced that she wants to normalize naked breasts by running around in public without any clothing on the upper part of her body. So she's just walking the streets of cities and going around just completely nude on top because she says, oh, I want to make this normal in society. I'm bringing about social change. You know, or you've got these people who are obsessed with body art, where a couple of the newest body modification trends are to tattoo your eyeballs, not your eyelids, but actually your eyeballs, or to split your tongue right down the middle, you know, to have this forked tongue, very creepy. You know, or in some parts of the Western world today, they're having what are known as sex roulette parties, where one person in attendance is secretly HIV positive, but no one knows who they are. And then everyone goes around having unprotected sex with everyone, with this person circulating, you know, and no one knows who he or you know, or she is. So, you know, these things are taking place where people are going just absolutely insane, crazy. And it kind of ties in with that reprobate mind, which we see, I believe, in the book of Romans, where, you know, just this cloud of insanity has descended on the land.
And then 40 years ago, when we decided not to retain God in our knowledge or in our public school system, we didn't just leave that space blank. We replaced it with evolution or Darwinism. And Darwinism teaches an atheistic worldview and tells children that they came from animals and that we have survival of the fittest to thank for our advancements and achievements as a species. If that's the case, if we're animals and survival of the fittest ensures the progress of our species, shouldn't we expect things like bullying and massive violence in the schools?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and when I was growing up, they called it the theory of evolution. But today it's being taught as a fact to our young people. They're saying, oh, you came from animals. You're just an animal. And they're starting to behave like animals. And so, you know, we're starting to see, you know, this in our schools, in our society, where people are just, you know, behaving in just very, very disturbing ways. But And this, you know, it's a hot button issue with me because it goes to the heart of our worldview. If we think this is where we came from, this is who we are, this is what we're. And then the thing is, it also ties into transhumanism where the idea is, well, let's take control of our evolution. Let's merge ourselves with machines and with animals and try to guide and direct our evolution to the next state of humanity where people don't think, well, we're already okay the way we are, but let's enhance humanity. Let's make us better. Let's genetically modify and bring in animal DNA and computers and technology. And then we'll become superhumans. We'll become mutants. We'll become cyborgs. We'll figure out a way we can live forever. And so that this whole worldview ties into that as well.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today. Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. We just passed the third anniversary of the Prepper Recon podcast, and it couldn't have happened without you. To say thanks, I want to send you a free PDF copy of the 7-Step Survival Plan. It's a basic blueprint that will help you to prioritize your efforts and make sure you're not missing any important areas of prepping. To get your free copy, simply go to PrepperRecon.com and click the 7-Step Survival Plan free PDF banner that's directly under the menu bar at the top of the homepage. Thanks again for 3 great years of the Prepper Recon podcast. Hitler didn't see himself as evil, and that was one of the things he was looking for, was that superhuman. And he just believed the Darwinian philosophies that he'd been taught, survival of the fittest. He thought he'd purify the species by weeding out the cripples, the mentally handicapped, and what he believed to be inferior races. American public schools are still teaching that same basic principle. Shouldn't we expect more Hitlers to come from our educational system? And do you think that the Antichrist will be a sort of a type of Hitler? And in that same vein, could Christians be viewed as unevolved, especially if we don't want to participate in the technological enhancements or infusion of our DNA?
Well, I think that's a very interesting thought, you know, and of course Hitler, you know, was a great admirer of Margaret Sanger and brought in this idea of, okay, let's introduce abortion, but he especially tried to, he didn't want German women to really, you know, do a lot of abortion, but he really promoted it among the minority communities, populations that he wanted to get rid of, and even today Planned Parenthood really sets up in minority communities. And has a special emphasis there, but you know that so much of what was under Hitler, whether the Nazis were socialist, I talked about this in an article that I just did, where they raised taxes on some cases up as high as 80%, and then they gave out freebies to everyone, freebies like crazy, even more than Bernie Sanders wants to do. The Nazis gave out freebies to everyone, free education, free healthcare. They had their own version of Obamacare, and of course they wanted to take away all the guns. They were a highly militaristic society, but they didn't want the general population to have guns, and they eventually took them away from everyone. And so many of the things that we see are being packaged as progressivism today, liberalism, you know, it's just the repackaged of what the Nazis did under a new name. And so, yeah, these things never went away. They've just been repackaged, resold to a new generation, and the new generation is embracing them, and it truly is very frightening.
And then back to your Rapture Verdict book. Do you get into the judgments in that book? Do you think in the seals judgments, at the end of the seals judgments and the end of the bowls judgments, we both have an earthquake. Do you think that those judgments are consecutive or concurrent?
I believe that they're consecutive. Now, I know there's debate about that out there, and so, you know, a lot of people think that they overlap. I don't, and I go over this in the book. And so, you know, I believe the seal judgments happen and the trumpet judgments happen, and I actually believe the rapture comes at the last trumpet immediately after the tribulation. And then we're raptured on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, which all these biblical festivals are prophetic, and I go over this in great detail in the book, but we're raptured on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, at the last trumpet. Then the bowl judgments are poured out in rapid succession during the days of awe that stretch from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And if you look at the bowl judgments, they're rapid fire, happen in quick succession. None of them require a very long period of time at all. And then we return with the Lord Jesus Christ on Yom Kippur, another one of the biblical festivals, with the armies of heaven to defeat the Antichrist, about 10 days after, on the 10th day after we're raptured on Rosh Hashanah. But, you know, I'm getting into the biblical festivals here, and I've got, you know, multiple chapters in my book which break all this down. But just like the spring festivals were fulfilled to the day by the first coming of Jesus Christ, the fall festivals, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles, will be fulfilled to the day by the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so, and once you understand that, it's like the book of Revelation is instantly unlocked and it becomes so much clearer. And so I explain this in my book in great detail, which we don't have time for today. But, it really, really is one of the keys to understanding the end times.
And as we talked about in Romans 1:28, we know that as we disassociate from God, those consequences do come. We said it took 40 years for the depravity to let men into women's bathrooms to get here. But that day did eventually come here, and I think that that's a good lesson in what you brought out from the verse in 2 Peter of mockers will come mocking and scoffers will come scoffing, saying, where is this coming? And the same thing, those same mockers, those same scoffers, you probably hear them about the economic collapse. You know, where is this economic collapse? And we hear it about the Cascadia Fault. You know, where is this big earthquake and the San Andreas and the New Madrid and all of these threats that people say, well, it's coming. What we've just been proved by the men's going into the women's restrooms is that day does eventually get here, and denying it and thinking that, well, because it didn't come yesterday means it's not going to come tomorrow. That's not a good philosophy at all. And I think the bottom line is, we do have to get prepared. I think that what you said earlier in the show, you know, stock up food. I think a year is a very, very good starting place. I think that maybe after you've read the rapture verdict, a lot of people might want to bring that up to 7 years. But it doesn't have to be expensive. If you're on a tight budget, rice is $7 for a 20-pound bag. You might have to get creative with your storage space if you live in a small apartment. Buy a platform bed or put your box springs up on concrete blocks to make some more storage space under your bed. Throw out all the junk so you can get close to a year's supply of food and then keep growing from there. What would you add to that?
Well, you said 7 years, but, you know, let me throw this out there, because a lot of people, they just are focusing on the 7-year period. Now, from my perspective, and I talk about this in the book, that I believe that we're going to see a perfect storm come to America, the judgment of God on America, and the fall of America, basically, before we even get to the tribulation. I believe that what we're going to see, you know, economic collapse, America come apart at the seams, and America actually fall, and that's going to set the stage for the rise of the world government and the Antichrist and everything else that we're going to see coming up. But I believe in terms of preparation, we need to think in terms of significantly longer than just 7-year period, tribulation period. In my perspective, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, well, from my point of view, and I talk about this in the book, and this is a conversation that could take hours, but I'm entirely convinced that America is going to be brought to its knees and fall before we even get to the tribulation. So if you're counting on a pre-tribulation rapture, even if it was true, you're going to have to prepare for many years in advance of what's coming to America before we even get to the tribulation, in my opinion. So I know a lot of people may not believe that or want to hear that, but I believe that it will be played out over, you know, it'll stand the test of time. And so just immediately what's coming to the United States, we need to get prepared for a multi-year process before we even get to the tribulation, in my opinion. Now, I know people may disagree, but, so I don't want – from what I would recommend, people not just think about 1 year or 7 years, but, you know, we're going to be around here for a while.
That's a really, really good point. I mean, while we look at the signs of the times, it does look like the hour is getting closer. But, you know, it could be – it's looked like that for a long time. So, I mean, it could easily be another 30 or 40 years before the return of Christ or any type of tribulation. And America is still, as you mentioned, on the cusp of absolute implosion socially, economically, morally, in every way you can possibly think. We are just living on borrowed time, and we got to get prepared to be able to survive for at least long enough to be able to develop the skills and hone your skills and get your self-sufficiency up to where you're going to be able to produce for yourself, which, you know, the time to start doing all of that is now. Even if you live in an apartment and you have no place for a garden, get some dirt, get some flower parts, start growing basil on your windowsill, whatever you can do to start building those skills and getting past that learning curve. I know that you've moved out of D.C. into a more remote area of the country and started focusing more on self-sufficiency, and it's a big learning curve, and that's stuff that you need to start doing now, just like prepping and getting your supplies. There's going to come a day when, just like you said about Venezuela, the time to prepare is past. The time to convert your excess currency into gold and silver is past, and the time to do all that stuff now for an American is today. Is that right?
Yeah. Whatever time we have left, you know, it's not a time to party. It's a time to prepare, you know, just like Joseph prepared during the 7 good years, and then 7 years of famine came. He didn't spend the 7 good years partying, having fun, going into debt, you know, but he spent those 7 years diligently preparing the greatest emergency food emergency food storage program in the ancient world. And by doing so, he saved not only Egypt, but his entire family, the nation of Israel, you know, because he diligently prepared. So now's the time to get prepared, you know, whatever time we have left. Let's just be thankful that we can, you know, with whatever we have. But also, I don't want people to be afraid, because my wife and I, we're in this stuff every day, but we don't live in fear. We're not depressed. We don't take any pills. In fact, we believe the greatest chapters of our lives are still ahead of us. And even in the midst of all the chaos and darkness, and I write about this in my book, my wife and I believe that the greatest time for the people of God is ahead of us, that we're going to see a harvest of souls like we've never seen in the entire history of the church. We're going to see the Holy Spirit move like we haven't seen since the book of Acts. It's going to be truly biblical times. It's going to be incredible times. We're so looking forward to what's coming, even with all the craziness that's going to happen. But if you're starving, if you don't have any food for your family, if you're being kicked out of your home, and if you're just trying to figure out how you can possibly survive, it's going to be hard to live in victory if you don't have anything to eat and you're totally destitute. So that's one of the reasons why we prepare. We prepare, like Steve Quayle says, we survive to thrive. We prepare to take advantage of what God is going to do, be ready for what God is going to do in the times that are coming. But if we've made no preparations at all, if we've not heeded the warnings, if we've not stepped out in faith and done the preparation, then it's going to be a lot harder to fulfill our mission, because we're just going to be, you know, looking for food.
Very, very good advice. Can you tell us where folks can find the Rapture Verdict?
Yeah, the Rapture Verdict is available on Amazon.com in Kindle and paperback format. Or if you just go to the Economic Collapse blog, there's big banners on the side. Just click the banner. It'll take you right to the book.
And then also on the Economic Collapse blog, you've got a DVD that you've produced on the coming collapse. I think this is like really a perfect tool for a Bible study, a home group, or a church group, to help get folks brought up to speed on what's happening and what's coming down the pike. Can you just expand a little bit about that?
Yeah, the DVD is entitled Economic Collapse, World War III, and the Death of America, talking about the coming economic collapse, but also, World War III and many of the other things that I believe that are coming to America, which I just briefly alluded to today, but kind of, we talked about the fall of America. Well, in that DVD, I go into a lot greater detail about what that means, what that's going to look like, why I believe that America is going to fall, and how that plays into Bible prophecy. So I go into all that more in the DVD.
Michael, thanks again so much. You've been very generous with your time today, and we appreciate you making time for us.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark. I always enjoy being on with you, and I definitely appreciate it.
In Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Daniel Walker begins having prophetic dreams about the judgment coming upon America for rejecting God's word. Through one of his dreams, Daniel learns of an imminent threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack, sending the country into a technological dark age. If they want to live, Daniel and his friends must focus on faith, wits, and preparation to be ready before the lights go out. Buy your copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.